Welcome to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney. Mark is a serial investorpreneur and the chief dreaming officer of the Haney Biz family of companies. With an endless supply of energy, he deploys his experience and passion to unleash the potential in others and share the stories of the region's most influential leaders. And now, here's Mark Haney.
Yes, this is the Haney Biz Project, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in Sacramento, helping those people out there chase their crazy dreams in business. Sometimes they're not so crazy, but yes, this is a business show, and the Sacramento Kings made a business decision. They made a big trade, but that decision, it made a few people upset, I guess. We saw a little bit of whining. We saw some crying. We saw all kinds of stuff happening in this last week. I'm Mark Haney. I am here to remind us of one thing. Everything is going to be all right, all right, all right. This is the Haney Biz Project. Again, I'm here with Marcus Haney, my main man. How are you doing this morning, Marcus?
I am fantastic. Fired up on a Saturday. Here banging again. Are you hanging or are you banging, Mark?
I am ready to go. You know, Saturday mornings, you can't help but get excited. You get to come on the radio. It starts off as being a little bit nervous, and then you just bring it. So that's what we are here to do today.
Love it.
And you know what? Sometimes we play in these games, and we don't have the confidence that we need when we're playing. But the Kings made what some people might say is a questionable move, but they have this crazy dream of winning an NBA championship.
Yeah,
is that crazy?
For the city of Sacramento, for us all, right? So, yeah, I don't think it's crazy. I think it's totally doable if we put the right people in place.
So. You go along, you've been beating your head against the wall, doing it one way, building around maybe one player year after year, and then all of a sudden you decide to make this big change. I mean, it's scary.
No doubt, but did you watch them against the Nuggets the other night? They looked like they had some serious pep in their step.
They were playing loose. I sensed a little bit of chemistry with that. So sometimes when one piece of the puzzle moves away, it really makes room for other pieces of the puzzle, other players on the team. They get their confidence, and they decide, you know what, maybe it's time for us to go for it. Bottom line, it's not the decision to make the trade that matters most. It's what you do after that decision is made. That is behind us. The decision is done. Now we got to play some basketball. Now we got to win some games. Now it's time to advance to the playoffs, hopefully. And maybe that dream of a championship is really possible. But it's what we do.
No doubt. Totally right around the corner for us. And I think with the Kings organization putting the Golden One Arena here in Sacramento, I think that we can really build some confidence around this team and put something together that changes the region.
It is not a crazy dream. I think it's great to dream big, and I think that that's what this show is about. And today we're going to be talking about angel investors because they empower those crazy dreams to come true, Marcus.
No doubt. Nothing like a little bag of cash to get yourself a little confidence.
It gets you confidence. I walked into Starbucks this morning to get my coffee, and the guys asked me, so what's the show about today, Mark, and I said, well, it's about angel investing. And you know what? That guy did not know what angel investing is. He didn't know what an angel investor was.
Huh.
So today we're going to demystify.
Yeah,
we're going to explain what that is. We're going to talk about, you know, because some angel investors, they want to invest in those early stage startups, and some invest in a little bit more later stage. And, you know, I just have to give a shout out to a guy that gave me a little bit of confidence yesterday. I'm in CrossFit Opens yesterday, and I'm doing my workout. And I had a little bad back feeling this morning. I need a little whining here about my workout from yesterday. But a little shout out to my buddies over there at Rockland CrossFit. You guys are doing the Opens today without me. I will be there after the show. But you know, I have this dream, and some of you guys know about this, of being this of going counterclockwise. Right, I envision being an 85-year-old man throwing batting practice to my great-grandchildren. And so I got to go counterclockwise. I got to work out. I got Dave Sanders coming up in a little while. He's got to work out as well, and he does. He's in shape. He is the man behind the Sac Angels. But before we get Dave and his partner up here, we are going to meet the lady behind Gatekeeper and behind the product Safer Locks. We're going to meet Kim Box, the president of this exciting upstart company. But after the break, we're going to meet two real-world angel investors, the men behind the SAC Angels, Mr. John Peters and my buddy Dave Sanders. Join the conversation on Facebook Live. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140, KHDK, streaming live podcast on YouTube at HaneyBiz.com.
And now, back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with the Entrepreneurs Advocate, Mark Haney.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by Dave Sanders and John Peters, the leadership team behind the angel investing group, the SAC Angels. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
Great.
Okay, so now there's three of us on the show here. I'm going to start off by asking John a couple of questions, get to know him. We know Dave Sanders pretty well from, he's been on the show like four times, but John, this is your first time here, so welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, let's get to know you a little bit. So you live in Granite Bay, you're an ex-HP guy, you've been in the high-tech industry. Give us a little bit of your background.
Yeah, I spent about 30 years in the tech industry, mostly working in the Bay Area, although I continue to live in Roseville, Granite Bay Area for that entire time. I worked at Hewlett-Packard in a company called BMC Software and managed teams from, a handful of people up to 700-800 people, businesses that had no revenue up to over $500 million in revenue.
Wow.
Did a lot of acquisitions during that time period.
So you have tons of experience in the investing world. Now, how did you become an angel investor?
Well, I always was involved in the business creation process.
Okay.
So even when I was in my corporate gigs, it was all about business creation. And I always had a passion around startups and that whole process. And a couple years ago, I just decided I'd had enough of the corporate world, and I'm going to pull away from that and focus on startups. And I also do a lot of strategic consulting for nonprofits.
Wow. Very generous with your time. How long did you retire from corporate life?
It was about a year and a half ago.
So now bring in Dave Sanders. Dave Sanders is probably the best known angel investor in our community. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
So you gave up a little bit of skiing today to be with Mark Haney again. Thank you. Well, let's ask you some questions about angel investing generally and the SAC Angels, if you don't mind. So as I was coming into the office or into the studio today, I got asked by a guy, what is angel investing? So I will ask you, what's an angel investor? What's angel investing?
Angel investor is any qualified investor that puts money into typically early seed stage companies. And that can be an individual, it could be a group, it could be a fund. In our case, we're a group of individuals that have an interest in helping these startups. And we combine our energies. We are able to pool these companies together. We typically, over the course of a year, would look at several hundred companies and maybe invest in 5 to 7 companies over the course of 12 months.
So the SAC Angels is a group of investors, but you invest individually. So if I'm a SAC Angel, I don't have to invest if some of the other guys on the team or in the group decide to invest.
Yeah, and that's typically the case. I mean, we're approaching 50 members as we speak. And so typically for any given meeting, we'll have two companies come in and present. And I think on average, one of those are getting funded.
Wow.
And the investors can make a decision. Typically, the minimum investment is about $25,000. And if you got 3 or 4 or 5 people that are willing to put some money in and they're doing a capital raise of $1 million, that's a significant input to what they need.
You bet. Now, John, Dave talks about how many people apply to get this investment or pitch to you guys, but only a few make it to those presentation times. What happens to all the rest of those guys that send you their pitch decks and they never make it?
Well, some of them actually we continue to work with. So we look at, maybe I'd say 30 companies a month that,
okay.
That we go through our selection process on. We narrow that down to 2 that we invite to come to the dinner. Some are just not quite ready yet, and so we continue to work with them actually in some cases.
But when
they come to a future event.
Well, what happens with those guys? Do they email you a pitch deck? If I'm a startup or somebody who wants some funding, and I say, well, you know what? There's the SAC Angels. I need to approach these guys. Do they send you a pitch deck? Is it meetings? If they can't get to the stage, to the big stage, how do they work with you?
Well, there's two ways. I mean, one, the first step is somehow we become aware of this startup. It's through relationships of angel members. We might have other angel groups that share that information with us. People may reach out. You meet them in different events, that sort of thing. And the second step is we ask them to apply, actually, formally online. So they actually submit an application to present at the investor dinner. So that's how it works, yeah.
And then so at the investor dinner, Dave, what happens? What does that look like? Walk me through. I'm a startup guy, and I walk through the doors of SAC Angels ready for my big day. What's that feel like to me as an entrepreneur?
Well, given the fact that we only have two companies presenting over the course of an evening, they'll typically be given 20, 30 minutes total. Of that period, probably the first 10 are them going through their pitch deck formally and presenting to us. There might be some initial questions. They leave the room. Then we huddle. We have another list of questions, you know, based on what we heard that we think we want to ask some follow-up questions.
Okay.
We'll probably get a sense in the room if there is interest because we don't want to spend a whole lot more time if it's completely off the mark. But then we bring them back in, ask another list of questions to them, see what the response is, and then pass a sheet of paper around the room. People sign up, and then there's typically a follow-up meeting to start.
So anybody who's interested, you end up spending some more time off. It's not like Shark Tank where they make their offer right there. No. How different is it than Shark Tank?
Well, quite a bit different than Shark Tank. Shark Tank's, you know, a lot of fun to watch. Actually, going back a couple of years, we invested in a company that was part of Shark Tank. And on the show, they were committed to like $600,000. When it came down to the actual investing, there was no money that was put into that company.
Yeah.
But it was a great PR opportunity.
Without a doubt. Now, John, just walking me through this process. I'm the entrepreneur. I come in and I'm nervous, I assume, because I'm pitching in front of all these successful business guys, and I need their money to give me the life support to, or maybe the startup money to go launch my business. I mean, what's the emotion like for the investee?
Yeah, it's probably less that like they're trying to hit their grand slam, and this is their only shot. Many of these founders are actually visiting 5, 6, 7 angel groups, so they're on a journey. And they're used to pitching their business.
Okay,
so when they come in, they've kind of got it down. They're not quite as tense and nervous as you might think they are. They actually are pretty polished in terms of their ability to pitch the business. And if they're not, then they're not going to be able to carry across their value proposition, and people aren't going to get interested. So,
and what kind of businesses are the SAC Angels interested in most?
We see a lot of tech, life sciences, med tech type businesses. And then there's always a collection of other kinds of businesses that are maybe non-conventional. We had a company that came in that had a lift for the back of pickup trucks. So that's pretty unusual and kind of on the fringe.
Did you guys invest in those guys?
I think a few people did.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're all over the
place.
What's
the craziest thing you guys invested in?
Craziest thing. You better ask Dave.
Dave.
I think one good one is Flirty, which is a drone company.
Oh, yeah.
That will be competing with Amazon. And the technology came out of University of Nevada at Reno. And they just closed on a follow-on round of about $40 million.
Exciting. You guys got them started, and now look what they're doing now, competitors to Amazon. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, where I'm here with Dave Sanders and John Peters. We're talking about angel investing, and we'll be back with more on angel investing in just a minute.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Haney Biz's Mark Haney.
All right, and welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited, presented by Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and I am rejoined by Dave Sanders and John Peters. These are the leadership team behind the investing group, Angel Investors of Sacramento, the SAC Angels. Hey, guys, we've been talking about angel investing. And I think, John, let's talk a little bit about what we look for when you're looking at a company. What kinds of things do you look for? Do you look for where you can add value, or are there other things that you look at?
Look, I think there we are. Yeah, I think it is something where the investors have to have a general interest in the startup property. So there's going to be an element of screening that happens there, and that happens in our monthly selections meeting. But in terms of the actual startup itself, we're looking for a really impassioned founder, somebody who's trying to change the world in a particular area. And that sounds big and bold, But really, they think of it that way. They think they're doing something really unique. They're trying to solve a customer problem they've either experienced directly or that they see in the marketplace. And we're looking for that highly competent, strong knowledge kind of founder who's got the passion to really take this thing forward. In addition to that, we're looking for a good market opportunity. So you got to be able to prove out that there's a reasonable enough revenue opportunity out there, that they've got a product concept that's unique in the marketplace, perhaps game-changing. That's always the best. And they've got some sort of vision on how they're going to sustain that edge in the marketplace and how they're going to scale the business up.
How are you able to determine which products are really not going to get beaten out by some other large company? There's so many apps out there that will eventually compete with Facebook. And, you know, Facebook's gigantic, and it's really tough to compete with some of these giants.
Yeah, it's a hard question, but I think we bring a set of backgrounds with our angel group. This, by the way, one of the benefits of joining an angel group like ours. We have people in life sciences, med tech, ag tech, enterprise tech. They bring a perspective and a knowledge of those marketplaces. They kind of get it when they see something that's truly unique. And the key is the founder has to have kind of an imaginative understanding of what the customer problem is. Ideally, there's no solution like it out in the marketplace right now, and they're taking a different spin on that, and they're able to convey a value proposition that's truly unique.
So, Dave, a lot of these people get turned down by the SAC angels. They get turned down by other investors over and over and over. What would you say to those people that have gotten turned down and, you know, they're really at the end of their rope maybe on investment, on getting an investment?
Yeah, I mean, I just look historically at the companies that we've worked with that ultimately are successful in raising that money. They don't give up. I mean, they just keep going. And it's not uncommon for people to go to 80 different groups and present. You know, you get turned down 79 times, it gets a little demoralizing. Yeah. But, you know, it's that 80th time that... Yeah.
Just keep on plugging.
Right. And find ways to make your dollar last. Just assume that it's going to take you longer and more time to be able to accomplish that. So get scrappy. Find ways to friends and family, credit cards. I mean, you know, you just figure out ways to make it happen. And the most successful companies that ultimately do get the money from us have found creative ways of pushing that dollar a little bit further.
I do a little bit of investing, too. I don't know if I would be an angel investor. I've been calling myself the investorpreneur, but there's certain things that I look for, and when I see this, certain things happening, I say, Haney, hit the brakes, right? It's time to put on the brakes. And one of the things that I see is companies that run their company like a Fortune 500 company before they really even have made a fortune, right? So they're at that beginning stages, yet they built out this whole infrastructure. The burn rate's incredible, and you're like, how are you guys going to sustain that?
Yeah, well.
I mean, are there certain things, Dave, that make you go, I don't think so.
Yeah, if the founders are looking to get big salaries out of the dollar that we put in, probably not going to happen. They have to realize that the successful companies, once again, are lean and mean. They've got everything on the line. They've put their house on the line. They're all in.
Okay.
And the thing for us is when we write a check, we don't want to be the last money coming into that company. We want to know there's going to be some legs, and when the tough times come, they're not just rolling over and quitting, because that's the end of the game for us.
Yeah. You talked, John, you were talking about the CEOs and the product. But what about the CEO, the rest of the leadership team? Sometimes the CEO is a product guy, right? He's really good at understanding the app or the drone. But they may not be so strong in other areas. I mean, do you look at the rest of the leadership team?
Well, you know, I think in startups, it starts a lot with the product team. I mean, that really is the core and kind of the genesis of a lot of startups. And as they get to the next stages of the business where they're trying to figure out how we're going to go to market, that's when they start bringing in other people. So you'll often see a technical team, engineering group that is at the foundation of a startup. And usually there's a couple founders, that you've got on the game. And that's a great thing, actually, because you've got some talent apply it to the problem space.
So now, Dave, I'm going to come to my first angel meeting. I'm going to become, if you guys accept me, it looks like I'm probably going to be maybe the 50th or 51st of the SAC angels. So I'm excited about that. But I'm a little intimidated. I know it's a bunch of you guys that are really successful in business. And I mean, I'm the type of guy that wears shorts to work and the T-shirt. I don't know really even what to wear. I mean, it's like, do I wear a suit? Do I get out my angel outfit with the little togo and the halo thing? You guys have a certain dress that you guys do?
Just write your membership check. We'll let you in no matter what you look like.
All right. Any closing thoughts about angel investing? We're going to bring on Kim Box here in a little bit. She's a real-world case study. But just some closing thoughts about angel investing, John.
Yeah, look, I think it's a great thing. This is an opportunity to really exercise your business skills, make some money, and make a difference in the local economy and a difference for people. I like part of what drew me to the angel investing agenda was an opportunity to kind of pay it forward and help people get great things in their lives. So it's a good thing. Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we are going to meet Kim Box, the president of SaferLock. It's a startup that's raised some money. It's going to raise a lot more. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited, broadcasting from Sports 1140 KHDK, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Haney Biz investorpreneur Mark Haney.
All right. Welcome back. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited. It's presented by Hub International. I'm Mark Haney, and we're back with Dave Sanders and John Peters, and we're also joined by Kim Box, the president of Gatekeeper, and the product Safer Lock. Welcome, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. We've been talking about investments. You are the president of Gatekeepers. Am I saying that correctly?
Gatekeeper Innovation.
Okay. Well, I want to know about that product. You guys have a product that I think is really helping our world. It's helping our young people. I really think it solves a problem. Tell us about your product.
Well, the product is basically a four-digit locking cap that fits on prescription bottles. And the precipice is that addiction is the number one health crisis in the nation, opioid addiction specifically, prescription drugs. And what happened was this family saw that they had the mom had an accident, Deborah Simpson, and she had all these surgeries and things happening, and her young son got into her prescription drugs just out of curiosity, and so it became a problem. Oh, and their other son saw the problem happening, and he tried to look for a way to lock him up and couldn't find any. So he started inventing it, and he was a Sac State student and had roommates that became founders with him, and they've been working at this for the last 4 or 5 years, and now we're hitting a huge inflection point. But the really cool thing about it is that there's the child-resistant locks, which was mandated in 1970, and nothing's really changed in terms of keeping kids out of these types of prescriptions, and so it's time has come.
Yeah, I mean, I'm envisioning having your prescription medications up in a medicine cabinet, if you will. Now, these actually are the little medicine bottles, and then on the top of them, there's a combination. But you have to know the combination in order to get in to get the medicine.
You have to know the combination. You can reset the combination easily if you know the combination. But once the combination is set, if you don't know it, you have to destroy the bottle to get in. And the whole idea is you want to prevent that sneaking of the pills, mm-hmm. pilfering the pills. I mean, someone could steal it, break
something
it.
Something you'd never notice, right? So one or two
exactly.
are gone a day,
exactly.
every couple of months, and you never miss it. And somebody could get into the medicine cabinet. You might never realize that they took a couple here and there. But they're going to have to break open the cap of the bottle in order to
get in there.
Right,
and then the family will know there's an issue. That's
okay.
The whole idea, yeah.
Now, I'm going to bring in my buddies John and Dave here. These guys are angel investors. I think you took on some investment from a SAC Angel, part of the SAC Angel group. Dave and John, any questions or any thoughts for Kim here about how she decides to grow her business? What are you guys looking for?
Well, we're looking for growth and revenue for sure.
You invested into her. Now it's time to get it going, huh?
Yeah, actually. So several of the SAC Angels invested directly, and I'm also part of a fund that we've now invested more than once. So we've had actually some follow-on money, but we think they're at an inflection point now. I think she can talk a little bit about what she feels comfortable in terms of where that growth is going to come from, and what she sees is the potential for the company over the next couple of years. Kim's in a unique situation because she wasn't part of the original company. She actually joined over the last several months because they really needed some help from a leadership standpoint with somebody that had more experience. And she's blended in amazingly well with the team. So maybe you can talk about that.
Well, thank you. That's exactly right. Last year when I joined the team, they were really starting to hit an inflection point. Several different things that we're doing, pharmaceutical, medical supply companies, government. We're going after various channels, and they're all starting to happen this year. So I joined just last year and have been helping to get the team structured, get things in place. They already have amazing manufacturing, very high volume manufacturing that we have. And just a week and a half ago, we hit a multi-million dollar order.
Wow.
Next year that will be delivered in the next 12 months and another one on its heels and big pharmaceutical things that are about to come down the pike and just
So that inflection point was really looked like you guys were poised for some real growth. Is that the inflection? Then they brought
yes.
you in to help scale this thing.
Exactly. And I have to give credit. The team of people, which were the Sac State students that came together, they've done all the hard work and the relationships. We're in all the national coalitions and well-known in the industry of abuse deterrent and what needs to happen in this nation. And all their relationships and business development with the team is happening. And I'm just very fortunate to be the one to come in and help with the structure, the scalability. I led a very large organization, global organization, and the tech world. So just really fun.
Exciting stuff. Now, John, do you guys ever see when you're investing where you've got an investment going and maybe they're starting to get – a little bit of scale opportunity or opportunity to scale, but yet the founder's not quite ready to give up control or bring in a Kim Box to help really take the thing to the next level. You ever see that, I'll call it founder syndrome, where they just can't give up that control?
Oh, totally. I think that's a pretty common phenomenon. And it's more common when they have members of their team who aren't prepared to grow with the business. They come in at a junior level and they expect they're going to be the VP of sales or the VP of marketing or what have you. And they just don't have the capabilities yet to do that. And if you're a smart founder, you're going to keep that person engaged in the company, but you're going to find the right talent you need to grow the business. I tell you, one of the things I like about where Kim is at with her business is she's got a good go-to-market concept. She's got partnerships. She's got a vision for how she's going to monetize this product and scale it. Now she just needs the capital and the skill sets to really crank it up.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about getting that capital. So if you're getting ready to raise some more money, what are you going to use the money for? And what is that next round of money look like? Who invests in somebody like you at this stage?
Sure. So the use of the funds are really around marketing and sales. I mean, that's the big part of it. We do have product development. We have new products coming out and some technology that we're working on. So there's some exciting things there too. But really, the bridge to this big revenue that's going to start hitting in the next 12 to 16 weeks is really around marketing and sales. So the team has done amazing with what they have and getting out there and just making the connections. We also have a lot of channel partners that we work with. So we have expanded our team by using partners, which is really smart. So we'll be using those funds to do some serious marketing. It's amazing how we haven't done a very big push on the awareness side of marketing yet. We're pretty well known in some ways, but we're in Bed Bath & Beyond and Lowe's and several other retail places, and we have a pharmaceutical relationship, and now it's just really getting much bigger.
So are you going to help the company raise money now then? Is that what your job, your task for that?
Money.
Okay, and what does that look like? Who do you go to? Do you go to the Sac Angels? Do you go to VCs? Do you go to banks? Who do you go to?
So right now we've been raising money through angel investors and some VCs as well at this angel level. So they've been very successful in the past, and we're just following on right now with the raising through that angel network.
So what's your current growth rate?
Well, from FY 2015 to 16, we grew 80%. And from 16 and now we're closing in on our FY 2017, we're growing twice, 100%.
Wow.
And this year it's going to go crazy because of this big orders that we have coming in. It's going to be off the charts.
Exciting opportunities over at Gatekeeper. What are your biggest concerns besides funding? I mean, you have to build in these marketing plans. You've got the channel partners locked up. What are the big concerns now besides getting the funding? Once you get the funding, what's it look like?
Well, it's kind of interesting because we had another big thing happened this week in terms of a large deal coming in. And both our large deals are going to start delivering about the same time. And so it's not a concern like we can't deliver because all the manufacturing setup, all that. It's just a matter of turning into that high volume and logistics. But that's what I've been experiencing in my career. Kind of scaling up type of thing.
Yes. Now your background is in corporate America. You had spent a lot of time at Hewlett-Packard.
Yes.
And then I know now you're on a bank board. You're on various boards. So you have a range of experience that's beyond what I would call the typical small business guy in my world. You've got this large, this way of thinking bigger that a lot of us don't have yet.
Right. And what's interesting is you look at a startup and everybody's doing a lot of everything, right? And so I come in and I'm looking at it going, okay, we need certain processes in place and structure, but you don't want to hamper that startup, kind of energy. And so my job is to bridge to that big, huge scalability that we're hitting this summer with structure so that we can execute really well and keep that entrepreneurial spirit with the younger people in the team and the others in the team that have been working so hard to get to the point where we're at right now.
Well, you talked a lot about the team. What's can you describe your leadership team?
Oh, okay. Yes. We have Nathan Langley.
Yes, I met him at the Impact event.
And he is the VP of Business Development and does a lot on all the relationships and sales as well. We have VP of Sales, who is Sandy Hancock. We have VP of Government Relations, which is Zachary Burke. And then we have the Product Development CTO, who is the inventor, which is Joseph Simpson. We also have another product engineer, another Sac State grad, who is John Steele, who is amazing. And then we have Stephen Simpson and Trevor Bernard, who are the people that do facilities, logistics, IT, just all of the, we have a small warehouse in our building, even though we don't.
Where are you guys located?
We're in North Natomas.
North Natomas. Now, Dave, when you see a startup like what Kim is running here, and it's right here in our hometown, what does that mean to you? And what do you think that means to the Sac Angels?
Well, I think it's exciting. I mean, we're here to invest, but we also have a passion for growing the Sacramento region, and it's something that I'm pretty dedicated to and have been for quite a few years. So having companies that start here, grow here, I think we're having some success now moving companies from the Bay Area here. We have a number of opportunities to showcase those companies, and they're seeing, what a great quality of life we have, cost of living less than half of the Bay Area. So those are all things that are pretty exciting to us, and I think a lot of what brings passion to the Sac Angel Group.
By the way, if I could just add to that, I think the showcasing aspect is super important. Our ability to kind of stay with the company from the start, help them get through their growth barriers and really expand the company, that allows us to get more visibility with other companies who might be interested or quality companies that might be a good attractive investments for us in the future. So it becomes our references, really, for the impact that the Sac Angels can have.
That's awesome. And Kim, just any closing thoughts? Maybe I'm going to go around the room a little bit here with some closing thoughts. Closing thoughts about Safer Lock and Gatekeeper and what you guys are doing from here.
So closing thoughts. First of all, it's really exciting to be a part of a team that's doing something that actually saves lives and is changing something in our world. So that is just really awesome. And this is a breakout year for Gatekeeper and the Safer Lock product. And we're looking forward to having more investors from the region join us right now as we're getting to this really exciting time. So,
all right. Only have about a minute left, guys. Any closing thoughts, Dave or John?
Yeah, I think closing thought for me is they approach us typically for money. But you look ahead 6 months, 1 year down the road, and I think the value that we bring to the table is our ability to step in and really help coach, mentor, make introductions that can truly be game changers for those companies.
Yeah, game changers. John?
Yeah, I think for me, I'll just say I think I'm really impressed with what Gatekeeper is doing. It's really tremendous to see a local success, and we want to see more of those. So for me, that's a great thing, and I just congratulate the company on that.
Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on the show, Kim Box, John Peters, and, of course, my good friend Dave Sanders. Thank you all for coming on the show. And, Mark Haney is getting busier. I'm getting a little busier with this radio gig that I got going. So if you want to get you want a little more Mark Haney. Some people don't want more Mark Haney. If you do, I am on LinkedIn. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn, and we will connect that way. The other way to get in touch with me is really – It's all around Rockland Audi, right? So come see me on Granite Drive. I'm right across the street from Rockland Audi, one of my sponsors. You come in, we go up to my office, we have a cold beverage, maybe a Bud Light. We walk across the street, and we fix you up with that brand new Rockland Audi. Yes. And I also want to thank another sponsor, Kim Silvers HR. If you have outsourcing needs for human resources, right, it takes a lot less cash and you get a lot more compliance with Kim Silvers HR. And a shout out to my buddies who are finishing up my solar, Derek and Murad at Sun Systems Technologies. Do not miss next week. We have John Lambeth and Bree Cahill, and we'll be talking about community-driven business models. When I return, I will share my closing thoughts about today's show. We'll talk about some uncommon investments that motivate me, give me some confidence. Maybe they're a little different than an angel investment, but they've got a little bit of angel in there as well. This is Entrepreneurs Unlimited on Facebook Live, broadcasting from Sports 1140, KHDK, streaming live, podcast, and YouTube at HaneyBiz.com.
Welcome back to Entrepreneurs Unlimited with Mark Haney.
Been talking a little bit about angel investments and how they give us that extra confidence sometimes and give us that extra bit of motivation. I had Scott Marsh just come in here and rub my shoulders, give me a little bit of extra motivation for this closing segment. But I mean, sometimes with that angel investment just helps us to get, you know, it helps us to get our confidence. It helps us get our thing going, right? Get our venture going, huh, Marcus?
Yeah, absolutely. I get your mojo going, right?
Yeah, you have to have that. And sometimes it just takes that little investment. Now, Marcus, question for you here. Any takeaways from today? Any closing thoughts? Did these guys motivate you in your startup?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it gave me a good understanding of what a partner with some capital might look like, what they would be expecting. And the thing to take away from me is that these guys aren't talking about four or five pitches from these startup companies. Yeah. They're talking about 70, 80, or 100 different approaches to different people in order to get a little bit of funding to get to that next level. I mean, there's a lot of people that I would suggest that they just quit, right? I mean, you just can't hang
out. It's amazing, you know, to get that much, we'll call it rejection or opportunity to improve,
right,
or opportunity to get on to the next one. I mean, I guess suppose it's a little bit like sales, I suppose, where it's a little bit of a numbers game, but I think sometimes it's who you, it's the timing, who you invest, who you go to, and when you get there. Are they looking for something in your category or your business? Because not, you know, every angel investor is a little bit different. You know, for me, for example, I look for stuff that's a little bit less of a startup, a little bit more mature, and maybe a little bit more of a turnaround where I can really add some value. But, you know, yet you were talking about, you know, what motivates us. And the other day, I had my EO group, I had Uriah and all the guys come around, and we were kind of walking around the office, and we were showing them what we do over at Haney Biz, and they saw the number of companies that we have, and we got up to my office, and we were kind of doing this roundtable discussion as I was explaining stuff, and somebody said, Mark, I don't know how do you motivate all these presidents and CEOs and all these employees. Mark, how do you motivate these guys? And I paused for a second, and I thought to myself, you know what? I don't motivate those guys. They motivate me. I think I get my energy from being around people that are willing to go for in their own way, right? I don't motivate. I get motivated when I'm around Kim Box or Dave Sanders or John Peters, or even when I'm around my team, or when people come to pitch me their ideas. That motivates me because everybody's got something great inside them. And so my job is I like to look at, you know, what that greatness is, and hopefully I can think about how we might bring that out. And I think the other thing that motivates me is when I see somebody. It could be an employee, it could be a business owner, it could be really anyone. But when they're taking the road less traveled, right, when they decide, I'm going to try to do something different than the crowd, that motivates me. And it could show up on a little league field, it could show up on a youth football field, it could show up in my business too. But I think back, Marcus, to like when you were playing little league and you see, you know, I'm a coach and you see certain guys stay after practice all night long, practicing that double play in the middle infield, turning it and turning it, and the ball drops, and then it's that flip, and it's the left-right throw, catch, get over to first. It happens, but it doesn't happen easily. It's difficult, and it's struggle, just like building a business is difficult. You know, but when you see it come together, when you see that painstaking effort begin to come together, it might be in a game on the line, and then you see that double play turn to perfection. That motivates me. That's the type of thing that that can bring a tear to my eye. When I see perfection and greatness from people that have been battling for something for so long, I mean, all those extra ground balls, all those extra practices, that's the road less traveled.
Well, I would say on the contrary, you motivate the entire team. You are not the type of leader who does the barking. You're the guy who leads by example. And I think that that effort that you're talking about right now, you exemplify to our entire team without saying anything. Wow. You're the first guy there, last guy to leave, and you motivate everybody in our office. And I'm not trying to say that you're, you know, to toot your own horn or anything, but you are that guy, and you are the reason why Haney Biz is on the growth pattern that we're on.
I mean, I think if you're doing something you love, you never work in a day in your life. You know, I've never worked a day in my life, and I think that's the secret for a lot of us is, you know, how do you really get on fire? And if you're working on stuff you love, it's not work. It's actually fun. Figure out what you're good at. Figure out what your strengths are. I can help you do that but I think any of us can do that if we just take a look in the mirror. We know what naturally comes to us, and that's where we need to focus. And then I think if we give everything we have to that, then you know what? The sky's the limit. And I think about that, yeah, the Haney Biz Project, it's about, you know, giving back in our own way. It's about igniting an entrepreneurial revolution. Because if you dream big, like with the Sacramento Kings, right, they want to win an NBA championship. It might sound impossible, but what if the chemistry came together for the Sacramento Kings? What if a couple of players were added in next year's draft and a couple of the existing guys stepped up? Why not? Why can't it happen right here in Sacramento for the Kings? Why can't an entrepreneurial revolution happen right here in Sacramento for all of us? Because I just look at it as what if? What if the Kim Boxes of the world, the Dave Sanders, the other guests that have come on this show, the other people that are pitching and chasing, what if all of those guys really were able to narrow down on their gifts and really get things going? What could that do for jobs in our community? No doubt. What could that do for economic growth? I think it can put us on the map, and that's what this is all about. So, you know what? I've planted a lot of seeds out there. I've been accused of doing too many things at one time. But you know what? You put those stars out there, and I invest into rock stars, and the people that come on this show are rock stars, and the people that are, I think a lot of the leaders in Sacramento, they are rock stars. Now, as those stars begin to align, that's when I get my confidence, and I'm starting to get a little bit of that confidence right now in Sacramento.
So it sounds like to me, if your dream is big enough, then you won't run out of steam on that motivation to go get it, right?
My dream is big, and it is around the entrepreneurial revolution right here in Sacramento. But again, what motivates me? Just some closing thoughts. I'm going to give a little shout out because I think angels, they come in all shapes and sizes, and maybe there's an angel inside each of us in some way. And I want to share a little story about a different kind of angel that motivated me. I got a text or a Facebook message from a girl named Sarah Wolf. She's a rocket scientist, believe it or not. She's like in her mid-20s. She's super attractive.
Working at NASA.
JPL Labs now, but she's chasing her dream, and that motivates me. I mean, she's a... You know, most people don't dream of being a rocket scientist, but that she's chasing her dream. And she sent me a little message the other day, and she said, you know, Mark, I listened to your podcast, and that motivates me. And coming from Sarah Wolf, I was like, now I'm motivated. You got the entrepreneur motivated. When you start saying that that they're listening to the podcast and that they can click and identify with that. And I think to think about taking the road less traveled because, you know what, she took on that rocket scientist. Come on now. But you know what? The thing about Sarah that probably I think has impressed me the most, and I don't know her as well as I will, But what I do know is I've seen the angel investor inside her occur. A good buddy of ours, a shared friend, lost his daughter, Brittany, a number of years ago. And she was a teenager at the time. And a few years later, we were attending a wedding together. Sarah was there. I was there. Brent Fink, my buddy who had lost his daughter, was there. And some other friends of ours were getting married. And it was the father-daughter dance. Dale and Candace were getting ready for the father-daughter dance. And the music started. And I just looked over at Brent, like, what must be going through Brent's heart right now seeing this father-daughter dance when he had lost his daughter just a few years earlier to a horrible disease. And I looked over and I saw Sarah, and I saw her walk across the floor over to Brent very subtly and grab him by the hand during the father-daughter dance and grabbed Brent, my buddy, our buddy, and Brittany's dad, and did the father-daughter dance during that wedding. I will never forget that. Most people would never do that. That is the road less traveled, my friends. When you can take it upon yourself to do something, most people would not dream of doing that. Sarah Wolf, she did that. I think that's angel investing at its finest.
Absolutely.
So what I would say in my closing thoughts to all of you, to all of us that have taken the road less traveled, right? The ones that dare to chase our dreams, no matter how big they are, we dare to chase those dreams. To those of us that find strength from that investment, to those of us that give strength even when it's painful, right? Even when it hurts to make that investment, and sometimes receiving that investment, it causes a little pain too. To all of those us who have been through that, and to all those who give us that strength to carry on. You know what? That's what angel investing is all about. And I guess as I think about Marcus, what you've done, and what we're doing as a family of businesses, as a family, as a community here in Sacramento, I challenge us to ask ourselves the question, is it possible that we all can be our own kind of angel investor? Do all of us have that gift inside of us that we have to give to others? I think if we look deep down inside ourselves, we all might have that. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.